Time with me just sitting here, not generating much body heat. The engineers were batting around ideas about why the stupid computer turned off the uplink antenna. It was like listening to a gaggle of high school class presidents trying to solve the problem of world hunger. I've got to get out of here, Gaeta told himself. But he realized that he didn't want to leave his job unfinished. I can't let this pile of chips beat me. I'm smarter than a goddamn computer, no matter what kind of learning programs they put into it. Computer, he snapped. What is this primary restriction? No response. Grimacing, he rephrased. Display the primary restriction. A burst of electronic noise assailed his earphones. Before Gaeta could blink, it was over. But his ears started ringing again. Well, he thought, at least the guys in the control center have something to work on. Maybe in a week or two they'll figure it out. But I can't wait that long. The Chingado computer won't uplink data from the sensors because it thinks there's some primary restriction that's telling it not to. Gaeta pondered that for several moments, while the engineer's arguing voices continued to clutter up his communications frequency. Something it's learned while it's been here on the surface of Titan, Gaeta thought. Maybe... Computer, what is the single most important piece of data your sensors have detected? Silence. Nothing but crackling static. Gaeta was about to give up in disgust when the computer's inhuman voice replied, Life forms exist in the ground. But we knew that from earlier probes. I have no information of earlier probes. I? Gaeta wondered. A computer that talks about itself? That recognizes itself? The engineers back at the control center jumped on the same concept. Gaeta heard their voices rise in pitch and intensity. Ignoring their chatter, he said to the computer, You found life forms in the ground? Yes. Gaeta started to ask his next question, but hesitated. Watch it, he said to himself. Don't let him fall back on that damned conflict of commands crap again. Are the life forms involved in the conflict of commands? Gaeta waited, but the computer stayed silent. Are the life forms the cause of the conflict of commands? He asked. Yes. Holy shit! Gaeta exulted. Now we're getting someplace. Aloud, he asked, How do the life forms cause a conflict of commands? Again, the computer went silent. Is it thinking over the question, or is it just too friggin' stupid to give me an answer? Gaeta asked himself. Gaeta, listen to me! Now! Habib's voice called insistently. Even with the volume turned low, Gaeta could hear the urgency in his voice. What is it? He replied wearily. He felt burdened, tired of this whole game. And then he waited, while the black snowstorm crept closer. That burst of information the program sent a half minute ago, Habib said at last. It's all about decontamination procedures. Decontamination? You mean like scrubbing the machine to make sure it doesn't infect Titan with Earth germs? Again the delay. Then, yes! When you asked it to display the primary restriction, it displayed its file on decontamination procedures. That's the primary restriction? With nothing else to do, Gaeta sat inside his cumbersome suit and counted the seconds to Habib's reply. 8, 9, 10. There isn't any primary restriction. Nothing of that sort was written into the master program, but the computer has interpreted its decontamination procedures as a restriction of some sort. Gaeta shook his head inside his helmet. I don't get it. You've got some housekeeping commands written into the master program, and the dumbass computer won't send any data because... Suddenly, it all became clear. Gaeta's eyes snapped wide. He raised both gloved hands in a clenched fist sign of victory. Computer, he called. Would uplinking sensor data cause a contamination danger to the life forms in the ground? Yes, came the immediate reply. Habib, still nearly 12 seconds behind real time, was saying, It must be something about preventing contamination. I think you're... I've got it! Gaeta yelled. I've got it! Shut up and listen, all of you! Habib and the other voices went quiet. You built learning routines into this program, right? Okay, it's learned. The computer found life forms in the ground. It knows from your decontamination procedures that Earth organisms can contaminate the Titan organisms. So it interprets the decontamination procedures to mean that it shouldn't send data back to you about the local life forms. Now I have to wait until they get my message and think about it, Gaeta said to himself. Screw that. I'm not sitting here with my thumbs up my butt. I'm going to fix this problem. Computer, uplinking data would not harm the life forms in the ground. Yes, it would. How? Silence. Fuming, Gaeta rephrased his question. How would uplinking data damage the life forms in the ground? Additional probes would be sent here. Each new probe increases the risk of contamination. But that's a risk we have to take. We can't learn about the life forms if we don't send probes to study them. Contamination must be prevented. Contamination must be avoided, if possible. Contamination must be prevented by all available means. We can't study the life forms without some risk of contamination. Humans are carriers of contamination. They must not be allowed to study the life forms. Christ, Gaeta thought. He sounds like Urbain. Why not? Urbain directed the computer's programming. Look, pal, the reason you exist is to study the life forms and to report what you find to the humans who built you. Logic tree. I uplink sensor data to humans. They will want more data. They will send more probes. Inevitably, they will send humans. Probes are possible sources of contamination. Humans are certain sources of contamination. Jeez, he's got it all figured out. How can I shake him out of this programming lock? Hey, computer, I'm a human, and I'm not contaminating the life forms. For several seconds, the computer did not reply. Gaeta thought he had exceeded its ability to understand. But then, humans are carriers of contamination. The 10-megajoule laser mounted at the rear of Alpha's roof rose from its recessed niche and began to swivel toward Gaeta. 28 May, 2096. Turmoil. Timoshenko drifted slowly out of the airlock, floating like a leaf on a pond. Turning, he saw the immense, curving bulk of the habitat, a huge metal structure created by human minds, human hands. A place of exile, he said to himself. All that thought, all that care, all that genius went into building a fancy prison for people like me. Rising above the habitat's tubular shape as it turned slowly on its long axis, Saturn's glowing radiance filled his eyes with light. The planet's hovering rings gleamed with dazzling light like a field of glittering jewels, circles within circles of sparkling ice. More than a billion kilometers from home, Timoshenko thought. They sent us here to make certain we could never get back home again. They exiled us among the stars, tied us to an alien world, a constant reminder of how far away from Earth we'll always be. Earth, Katrina, what good is living if I can't be home with her? With gloved hands, he felt along his waist for the remote control unit he'd brought. With one press of his thumb, he could shut down the superconducting wires that produced the habitat's magnetic shield against Saturn's deadly radiation. One press of my thumb, he thought, as he clutched the remote in his hand. And within an hour, the people inside will begin to die. They could restart the superconductors, he told himself, but that will take hours. By the time they realize what is happening to them, it'll be too late. They'll all die, including that lying bastard Eberle. Him most of all. He's the one I want dead. And me, I'll go drifting out to the stars. I might be the first human being to reach Alpha Centauri. He laughed bitterly at the thought. Timoshenko held the remote in his right hand and lifted it to the level of his helmet visor so he could see it. One touch of my thumb, and they all die.